Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
At a rally in Houston for Republican Senator Ted Cruz last night, President Trump went all out with his closing argument 2 weeks ahead of the midterm election. He said that next week he'll be putting in a 10% tax cut for middle-income families.
We're going to be putting in a 10% tax cut for middle-income families. It's going to be put in next week.
Ashley Parker, White House reporter for The Washington Post, joins us now. Hi, Ashley.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well. So that is not true, what he just said. He is not going to be able to pass another tax cut next week. Congress isn't even in session.
That's correct. And that's one of those things he's said where no one, when he first said it, you know, we were going crazy trying to figure out what he meant, what he was doing. And as we started making calls, no one in Congress knew. No one in his administration knew. No one really seemed to know.
So why is he saying that he is doing that?
I assume he thinks it's a good messaging strategy, right? People like tax cuts. That would be a popular thing to do if you could push a tax cut through in the next 13 days before the midterms. That would be really buzzy and big.
Mm-hmm. But he won't be able to do that. He also claimed last night in this rally that unknown Middle Easterners were mixed in with a group of 7,000 Central Americans currently more than a month away by foot from the U.S. border. Also not true, or at least there's no evidence that there are unknown Middle Easterners in that group.
Right. The president has been asked, the White House has been asked, and they have not been able to provide any examples, evidence, or specifics of what the president is referring to.
Ashley, he also returned to a claim that he made during the 2016 campaign that immigrants who are here illegally are voting illegally. Let's listen.
I got so many people voting illegally in this country. It's a disgrace, okay? It's a disgrace.
Now, that has long been debunked. It's not happening.
Correct. That is also not happening. He's also talked about Democrats funding this caravan and kind of implying that they're funding them because these migrants will cross over the border and then vote in 13 days. And that's also false. That's not how our system works.
Mm-hmm. So. Are his supporters going to care if they find out later that some of these things, or especially that the middle class tax cut is not true, that that actually isn't going to happen in the next week?
If history is any evidence, and I mean immediate history, going back to basically his 2015-2016 campaign, they will not care, or if they do care, they will not punish him for this at the ballot box. The president then, as a candidate, was sort of the first person who ushered in this post-truth era where he realized that, you know, lots of politicians that say things that aren't quite true, they're often not quite as false as the things this president says. But when they are fact-checked, whether it's by the Washington Post fact-checker or any of these newspapers and organizations that do fact-checking, there is often a public penalty they pay with voters. And so they change their rhetoric, not because they necessarily care that the Washington Post gave them four Pinocchios, mm-hmm. but because they care that their voters care. And with President Trump, that was not the case. He sort of quickly realized that he could say what he wanted, and whether it was true or not, he would not be held to account by the media, he would, but not by his voters. Mm-hmm. It's also worth noting when it's pointed out, when the media points out, he's saying something that isn't quite true. He will just say, well, that's the fake news media. They're lying.
Well, and Fox News, which has been very friendly to President Trump, hasn't been running his rallies in full. But last night I watched, they ran it from beginning to end in Texas. And there was no point at which anybody came on and said any of the things that he said were not true.
That's true. I will say it. I think it has been hard for news organizations, any news organization, frankly, to fact check the president at his rallies in real time. I remember kind of early on, you would see some cable outlets try to do that on their Chiron below the screen. But that does not seem to be something, frankly, that any television channel has done a good job of mastering, Fox or otherwise.
I want to ask you about one more thing that happened last night. The president said this. He was referring to power-hungry globalists, the kind of language we haven't heard since Steve Bannon was in the White House. And then he said this.
You know, they have a word. It sort of became old-fashioned. It's called a nationalist. And I say, really, we're not supposed to use that word. You know what I am? I'm a nationalist, okay? I'm a nationalist.
What'd you make of that moment, Ashley?
On the one hand, it's not surprising because the way the president cast his definition of a nationalist is someone who puts America first, right? Which is what he's been very clear about is his goal and his campaign slogan the entire time. On the other hand, it was quite interesting because this was an administration that started off with a real roiling debate between the sort of so-called globalist faction and the nationalist faction. And now, even though Steve Bannon is gone, who we sort of think of as the original nationalist, in general, the people the president is bringing in and surrounding himself with are the people who feed that more gut, visceral, nationalistic interest of the president.
That's Ashley Parker, a White House reporter for The Washington Post. Ashley, thank you.
Thank you.